The Forbidden City is the old imperial palace in Beijing, and it's also the name of a novel by Chinese-American author Vanessa Hua. She writes about a teenage girl in the 1960s who was plucked from her village to serve the head of the Communist Party, Chairman Mao Zedong, and she reveres Mao. Then, things get complicated. She becomes the chairman's protege, lover, and political pawn during the nationwide crackdown known as the Cultural Revolution. And she winds up, well, you got to read it. I spoke to Vanessa Hua on Skype about Forbidden City back in May. So your protagonist is fascinating. Mei Xiang was raised in the countryside in China and plucked in the early 1960s to do what? Tell us about her.
A party official arrives and she's selected for a mysterious duty in the capital. And it's not until she gets there that she understands she's to serve the chairman in a dance troupe because he's a fan of ballroom dancing.
Which is true, right? I mean, that part of your research, you actually learn that Chairman Mao was a dancer, was a bad dancer. Yeah?
Yes. The American journalist Agnes Smedley in 1937 traveled to Yan'an, the rebel stronghold, and taught Mao and other top leaders foxtrot, square dancing. And of Mao, she said he had no rhythm in his being.
Okay, we're not going to give the whole story away, of course, but when your main character, Mei, goes to Beijing, there's a whole lot of palace intrigue. Tell us a little about that.
She's idealistic. She's young. She's always wanted to serve the revolution and the party in some way. But when she gets there, she's immediately caught up in the court intrigues, not only with the other young women in the dance troupe, but also has to face down the madam, the chairman's wife, and other political leaders who might see her as a way to get to the chairman. And she finds a way through. She's a survivor, but of course, survival comes at a cost.
Yeah. And you decided to write this novel in the past tense of an older woman looking back with some regret at this chapter in her life and the trade-off she's made, the lives she's impacted. Of course, the Cultural Revolution was a type of hell for most people in China at the time. Why do you take the perspective of looking back to tell the story?
The retrospective narrator allowed me to, on one hand, show her youthful idealism, but also that journey to disillusionment. So Mei is someone who's grown up revering the chairman, believes this man is a god. And yet when she's in his inner circle, reality bumps up against what she's been raised to believe. And the novel opens on the day of the chairman's death in 1976. That's what allows her to consider these painful memories that she had buried for so long. And it's a real reckoning.
Well, you know, you spent a fair amount of time in China, as did I. And when I was asking some of my relatives about this, my aunt, and she was a member of the Red Guard, these fanatical students who attacked their teachers and their parents and anyone considered, you know, impure politically. She said, you know, we don't talk about this a lot because we are ashamed of what we did. I mean, do you think the pain looking back in this novel as a way of representing millions of people in China who still carry these scars?
Oh, completely. Because neighbors turned on neighbors, students on teachers. Sometimes in the name of revolution, they were settling petty grievances and taking revenge. And to fully face it is difficult. And also to go against Mao would be to go against the very foundation of the country. So it's very difficult to face what someone might have done on a personal level, but on a national level as well.
Tell us about the start. What inspired, hey, I'm going to talk about a young woman who was on the inside when Mao returns to power in China and he sets off this horrific cultural revolution?
Well, I was inspired by a photo I saw. This was about a decade and a half ago now. I was watching a documentary and up pops a photo of Chairman Mao surrounded by giggling teenage girls. And I was completely astonished. And that's when I learned that he had these dance troops that some of them went on to become his companions. They had titles such as confidential clerk or nurse. They would handle his correspondence. People had to go through them to get to Mao. The chairman's physician, Li Zhishui, has a famous memoir in which he references them and says, oh, it must have been the most exhilarating, exciting experience of their lives. And I knew it had to be more complicated than that.
Sure.
And,
yep.
Yeah, and that's really where it began.
Yeah, and of course, many Americans far away have at least heard of the Cultural Revolution in China, 1966 to 1976. What did you learn about it in the course of writing this, and what do you want the readers to take away from that nightmare decade in China?
I learned that the roots of it began in the Great Leap Forward a couple of years earlier, that Mao's attempt to rapidly industrialize and become a leader of the communist world resulted in famine for, you know, millions. And as we arrive on the eve of the Cultural Revolution, Mao was worried about his legacy. And all his handpicked successors, he began to see as rivals that he wanted to take down. And in writing May, in making her my main character, she's emblematic of those many impoverished young women around the world, not just in China, who've shaped history in their own way, yet don't even merit a footnote in official accounts.
Now, you're, like me, a journalist who has covered China a lot and the Chinese diaspora. What about your journalism experience helped you report this story, tell this story?
I think it helped me in a number of ways, not only in the research I did, ferreting out the footnotes, going to China and tracing the path that would be May's, or writing about young women who left their homes in the countryside to work in factories, giving up everything they'd ever known, their family, in order to seek opportunity and a life different from the one handed down to them. So that inspired, in part, the character of May.
And let me ask you about the subject matter. And I wonder if, given your background, which is very similar to mine, whether there's anything that is personal here. My enduring recollection of a Cultural Revolution story is my uncle. My dad got out of China. His younger brother didn't. And I spent hours with him in Shanghai asking him about the Cultural Revolution. And he said his mother was a teacher. She was attacked in this period in the late 60s. And she was made to stand in the winter under a tree. She had to bow down and the icicles would drip down the back of her neck for hours. I mean, that's the image that stays with me. Obviously, a lot more horrific things happened in the Cultural Revolution. But is there any of this that is connected to you, your story, your family story?
Yes. And thank you for sharing that important, horrific personal history of your family. So I'm the American-born daughter of Chinese immigrants who were born in the 1930s. Grew up in a childhood marked by war with the Japanese and then the Civil War. And as the communists came to power, they fled to Taiwan and eventually made their way to the US as grad students. And they didn't talk much about the past, preferring to focus on the future. And in fact, it wasn't until I was adult that I learned that part of my extended family was brutally impacted by the Cultural Revolution. One fact was about how their home had been taken away and they were crammed into a much smaller space and there weren't many details forthcoming. And I felt it was so important to explore this chapter of Chinese history that continues to resonate today, that continues to impact, you know, how the country might reckon with itself or not. And I'm haunted by the thought of, you know, neighbors living alongside neighbors, they know what atrocities were committed against them, and yet they don't speak of it. And, you know, what does that do to a family or to a society?
Vanessa Hua is the author of the novel Forbidden City, and we will have an excerpt of that at hereandnow.org. Vanessa Hua, thank you. Congratulations.
Thanks so much for having me on.